Do you have solo economic dependency? That is, if you aren't working, you aren't making money. The Art of Passive Income podcast is the solution. Discover passive income models so you can enjoy life on your own terms. Let freedom ring.
Hey, it's Mark Podolsky at Land Geek, your favorite niche real estate website, thelandgeek.com. And on this week's roundtable, we have almost all the usual suspects. We've got the technician, Eric Peterson. Eric, how are things?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. I've got shingles, so that's fun.
Yeah, that's
but fun. Other than that, I've just, you know, Scott Bossman's giving that disapproving, you know, you shouldn't say that HIPAA look, but that's okay. It's my own privacy.
You self-disclosed.
I self-disclosed it.
It's not like you're sharing. You're not sharing others' health information.
We would never do that.
Which, by the way, I've done. I admit it, and I, you know, for sure. Speaking of, dude, buddy, the nightcap OG, Scott Bossman. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Mark.
We got the Zen Master. Breathe in the mailing. Breathe out the marketing. Mike Zano. Mike, how are things?
Doing great. Hopefully, I sound okay to you all today. Some microphone adjustments.
Yeah, you're okay. We've got Taria putting in the Rep Terrace. Taria, how are you?
I'm doing well. I would ask how you're doing, but you have shingles, so.
Yeah, I'm hanging in there. It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It could be worse. And last but not least, Tate. I love it when you call me Big Papa. Litchfield, you know what would be great, Tate, is if I could just look over your shoulder and watch you work. Go to landgeek.com/lots. Look over Tate's shoulder. It's fun. Tate, how are things?
Things are good. Things are really good. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so we've got we're going to do a quick hit roundtable question. So the first one is, does anyone buy land outside of the United States? Perhaps Costa Rica. I've heard about Costa Rican land. Perhaps Belize. Oceanfront land in Belize. Let's start with the technician, Eric Peterson. How about you?
I have not purchased land outside of the U.S.
Have you thought about buying land outside of the U.S.? Has it ever even come into your thought process?
I guess it sounds like a cool idea, right? But I think there's so much land in the U.S. and I know how to do that and I know how to do it well. So I don't know. Like, I just don't have a desire to go outside of the country. While, you know, if you think about it, yeah, it'd be cool to, you know, buy and sell property in Costa Rica or somewhere else. But there's a whole nother learning curve and you have to understand all the local laws and, you know, the country and everything else. So, I haven't done it. I don't currently have plans to do it, but, I'm sure it's possible.
It's possible. I mean, but I think you make a really good point. You know who I think would be argumentative about this? Just because I know how he is. He loves to just play devil's advocate. The Zen Master. Mike Zano.
Devil's advocate.
Mike, I could just see you and Laura, you know, spinning that globe and being, let's buy land here. Because we can.
We did have an opportunity, Mark. We met somebody with a whole bunch of land in Mexico and we were talking about it, but it was layer upon layer of just complexity, it seemed, right down to the point where if you were going to use it, you know, he knew the local tribe that had jurisdiction over it and he knew them well. And it just seemed so multi-layered and risky. I'm sure there's a lot of money to be made there. I'm sure that if you had the knowledge, I think you'd have to have a solid legal team and people that really knew international law and all this stuff. So, I'm sure there's money to be made there, but I always think of our business as the low-lying fruit, the easy land deals, the easy purchases, where we can you know, record it online and own it within an hour and on Simplifile. So, yeah, opted against that. And like Eric said, I am not disagreeing with Eric. I agree with Eric. There's a overabundance of land right here in the USA. Low-lying fruit.
The low-lying fruit. Dude buddy, NICAP OG, Scott Bossman, you ever buy land outside the U.S.? You and Aaron ever go out in one of those cold winter nights and be like, wouldn't it be great to have land in some tropical area? Oh, I don't know.
Arizona?
Guatemala. Not Arizona. It's tropical Florida. But, inexpensive beachfront property is kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, it's an appealing thought. Not really my cup of tea because I just want to continue doing what's working for us. And, you know, maybe we'll just get to the point where we can Airbnb some different beachfront property here, there, and everywhere once the kids are out of the house and we'll enjoy the geography of those places. But, I mean, are those areas great investments? Probably. Like Mike said, though, there are so many layers to it that I would want to be sure of before I went into something like that. I think it would be helpful if I, you know, there may be some people in our community, you know, maybe there's some bilingual people, something like that, who could negotiate those waters with more confidence. But that's not me. And at this point in time, anyway, now I'm across an opportunity. I might listen to it. I might, you know, contemplate whether or not it's a good thing, but I've never done it. I'm going to stick to doing what I'm doing and stick with what's working.
Okay. So that's three no's. I can just imagine Taria putting in the reps Harris, you know, just daydreaming with Landon after a hard workout and just, you know, be like, you know what? Wouldn't it be great to have some beautiful land in Australia?
Yes.
Right?
So we have thought about buying land in another country, but for personal use. We've never looked at it from the standpoint of buying to sell as part of, you know, our system. And even buying it for personal use, there was a lot of red tape. The locals were a little skeptical, you know, we're coming in, we're not local, why do you want, like it was too much. And that was just buying it for personal use. So I can't imagine the bureaucracy of trying to get it and then turn around and sell it. So no, we've never looked into it.
All right, well that's four no's. I mean, Tate's a world traveler. So I have a feeling he's going to buck the trend here and be like, oh, by the way, I own, you know, land in this province in China. I just haven't told anybody.
My opinion on the matter is invest in America and travel the world with profits. That's kind of how I view it. You know, invest here stateside. There's fewer barriers to jump through, and then use your profits to go play. And that's the approach I take. I mean, I don't want to have to deal with that. And we have a good system set up in the U.S. right now for our team and for buying land stateside, and I'm not messing with it. I mean, I don't need to add extra layers of complexity. I'm not chasing deals. I love the beach. I love the ocean, but I'm happy working where I am and vacationing in those places personally. I think when I look at the businesses that I've created, the thing that I'm most proud of is the fact that they're boring. They're very predictable. And the minute I start adding, you know, language barriers and other things that might need to happen to the mix, we're not as profitable. We're not as productive, and it's harder to outsource. So I'm staying away from it personally.
Yeah. I feel like the question is sort of like one of those scarcity mindset questions. Like there's billions of acres of land available in the United States.
Right.
We trust most of us trust the government. They're not going to just take the land away from us. Right. I mean, we've got a good history of this. Most other countries don't, especially when foreigners own land. Why would you take the economic risk, the currency risk, the government risk, the legal risks when you've got such a big market here. So it's all no's all around. But let's go to the next question, which is, have you bought from a seller that lives outside the country? Eric Peterson.
I think it's been a while, but I think we did one time. And, you know, it's when we scrub our list, we typically remove international addresses. Sometimes they slip through by accident, or sometimes someone's moved out of the country and a relative or friend forwards the mail and they get it in Japan or wherever they might live. And in those cases, if those deals do come back to us, we can buy from a seller who is overseas. It's not necessarily an issue. The hardest thing is that they've got to be able to notarize the documents. And typically that means either they're going to have to do it online, if that's allowable, or they're going to have to find a U.S. embassy and go there to notarize the documents. Assuming they can accomplish that, it's really no different than doing a deal with, you know, someone in the country.
Okay. But for your coaching clients, do you recommend they mail internationally?
No, we don't.
Okay. Zenmaster.
Just
ever
Canada.
Buy just Canada.
Yeah.
Okay. So you mailed to Canada.
Yeah. Probably because I didn't scrub them out. I typically would scrub out of U.S. owners, but they were in there and they responded and we bought. So other than that, no, I haven't bought from any other people that live in any other countries. But I, yeah, so just Canada and, you know, just haven't had a need to do that.
Okay. Dude, buddy, NICAP OG, Scott Bossman. Wait, Scott, you're on mute.
Sorry about that. Yeah. I bought from two sellers in Canada. One was actually a fellow land geek who was selling wholesale. And the other one, I did not mail to the list. Back when I first started, I was just kind of on Craigslist shopping for land or looking at what people had for sale. And I saw that this guy had a really, what I thought was a steal. And I emailed him and he happened to be from Canada. We took care of the deal quite easily. Wasn't an issue, really. He was able to find a notary and he had done some other, real estate transactions in the past and self-closed those deals. So if I had any questions, he was a good resource for me, but no, we don't mail, to international buyers. And I think, you know, the longer you're in this business, you may come across opportunities like that. And I would say, you know, definitely don't pass on those opportunities. Because, you know, with a little bit of research, I think you could definitely find a good deal.
Okay. So you don't mind mailing internationally?
No, I don't mail internationally, but if I come across an opportunity, I'm not going to
You wouldn't pass on it.
Rule that out.
Okay. Taria, how about you?
No, we definitely don't mail internationally. We ended up, I think, same situation as Eric, where someone must have forwarded our mail to someone internationally. And they reached out and we started looking into it, but they ended up not wanting to sell in the end. But we were going to do it. I mean, it was pretty straightforward outside of, you know, the notary. And we thought, sure, why not? But no, we haven't as of today.
Okay. But you don't look for it. You're not mailing.
No, we don't mail overseas. No.
Okay. So far, it's been a bunch of no's for the most part on this whole international thing. But maybe Tate, again, is, you know, because he speaks so many different languages.
We don't target properties where the owners live outside of the United States, but I've bought from plenty of people who targeted me or sent me a message or called us and said, hey, I'm interested in selling my property. I've done that a number of times. I'd do it again. You're just going to want to consult with somebody who knows the ins and outs of, you know, what might be required in those countries. A notary is obviously the key to all of this. And depending on where the seller lives will determine how easy it is to complete the transaction. If they're going to have to fly somewhere to get a notary stamp, that's going to most likely kill the deal. But, you know, I've done it, and it was a profitable move, but it just takes a little extra work. Again, the reason we don't target people who live overseas is it adds an extra layer of complexity. We are keeping it simple over here. We don't need to do that. There's plenty of other properties where the residents live in the United States and they're happy to sell. So I'll do it, but it's not something we search or seek out.
You know what money loves?
Speed.
Speed. Speed. On Valentine's Day, money sends speed a card because it loves it so much. Final question.
Okay.
Final question. Does anyone sell land to international buyers? Technician, Eric Peterson?
We have not. We've definitely talked to some potential buyers from overseas, but we've never closed a deal with an international buyer.
All right. Zen Master.
One time. And actually that one time, Mark, was a wholesale deal, and he ended up not liking it, and I wanted the refund to take it back. But now that I'm thinking of it, that was a disaster because it was in another country, and for him to get it notarized, it was crazy. So actually that would change my answer to the prior question, that I did buy it technically outside the Canada or the United States. But just that one take back was so much of a headache. I would never go through that again.
Okay. Dude buddy, Scott Bossman.
One deal in the last 6 years we sold to somebody outside the U.S. in Mexico. Very straightforward, but that was it.
That was it. Taria?
Yep, we have two people in the U.K. And I think the biggest thing was getting an American-based checking account for Actum, because they would not withdraw against an international account. So that was the only kind of nuance. But other than that, it was very straightforward.
Okay. Fantastic. Which accent do you like better, Tria? British, Australian, or South African?
South African.
South African. Mm-hmm. Okay.
With Australian at a close second.
With Australian a close second. Yeah. It's funny because, you know, when Americans travel overseas, like, no one's ever like, we just want to hear you guys keep talking. Like, whenever I talk to someone who's British or Australian or South African, I'm like, just keep talking. It doesn't even matter what you say. I just like the sound of it. And they sound smarter. Like, right?
Yeah. Bad news. Like, they can give you horrible news and you're like, oh, okay.
It's just
sounds better, goes over better.
Am I the only one who's like this? Tate?
I like it. No, I mean, the accents definitely are nice. I was thinking, I got an idea. If you ever have to deliver somebody bad news, we should find somebody who we can, you know, rent their time, you know, somebody from South Africa, and be like, hey, I need you to call Mike Zeno, let him know he's fired. But do it in a way.
Bad example.
You know, he's okay with it.
Jeez.
I know he's going to be upset with me, but just let him know, hey, you're fired. Okay. And let him do it with love. You know, I think we're onto something, team.
Is Tate sending subliminal messages on the round table? I don't understand. I'm a little anxious now.
Okay. I'll tell you, I was watching the third season of Masters of None, and I won't spoil it for you, but there's a scene where someone does have to give a character really bad news, and she does it in a Jamaican accent, and it is so comforting. I'm like, I'll tell you what, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
That was for sure the way to go. So that could be a little side business. How to deliver bad news.
I like it. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a buyer.
But So, have you sold land to international buyers?
Yeah, we've sold land to a number of different people in different countries. I guess, you know, Mexico, the UK. We've sold some properties to the Middle East, United Arab Emirates, and places like that. Straightforward. It's pretty much the same thing. So, you know, they'll tell you how they want to take ownership. Traditionally, what I've seen is it's normally under a corporation or an LLC, and you write up the deed, transfer the property, you know, obviously get paid beforehand, and all sales are final.
All right. Well, I think this is a really good roundtable podcast. Not a lot of depth to it because none of us really, you know, market and mail to, yeah, we just like this, our massive market, and we just keep it simple. There's nothing wrong with being ambitiously lazy, right? Like, keep it simple for sure. But we're at that point in the podcast where we get to go to Taria Putnam the Reps Harris and ask her for her tip of the week, a website, a resource, a book, something else actionable for the Art of Passive Income listeners to go improve their businesses, improve their lives. However, before we get to Taria's tip of the week, I'd be remiss if I didn't properly introduce our sponsor this week, which is Flight School. Learn how the next 16 weeks can literally transform your life. Go up that mountain of land investing with Scott Todd. He's done it thousands of times, quickly, safely, and efficiently. And the best part is, it ain't going to cost you nothing. That tuition, you're going to make it back 180 days or less, guaranteed. Just show us that you're working the recipe. Schedule a call with Dude Buddy, Nightcap OG Scott Bossman, or the Zen Master, Mike Zano. Go to landgeek.com/training. Schedule that call. I promise you, you will be thankful for it. All right. Taria, what is your tip of the week?
So my tip of the week is actually something that I have sticky notes in my bathroom, right? And so this is a sticky note that I have. And it says, take risks. Ask big questions. Don't be afraid to make mistakes. If you don't make mistakes, you're not reaching far enough. And it's something that I also try and convey to a lot of my coaching clients because they're kind of just getting started. And their big thing is, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to make a mistake. I don't, you know, I'm afraid to market. What if I do it wrong? You know, I'm afraid. Make mistakes. I'd rather be make mistakes doing something than sit safe doing nothing. So. That's my tip.
I love that tip. The biggest mistake is not taking action and not learning. Yep. Right? I want to write this down. So take risks, ask big questions. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's an example of a big question that you've asked yourself lately?
A big question I've asked myself. Oh, that is a good question. I don't know.
Eric, what's a big question you've asked yourself lately? I feel like that's a really good roundtable podcast. Is what are the big questions we should ask ourselves? How do we get more time with our friends and family? Or what are the things that we should be eliminating from our lives? What should be on our not to do list? Right? Are some big questions. You know, how do I want people to eulogize me? What are those types of things? Because I got shingles. I got to think about this stuff.
I'm not going to die.
Feel like it, Taria. You know, but that is a big question is, okay, if I do die, how have I structured my business so that it can continue going on seamlessly?
That's a big question.
I mean, these are, I mean, you know, and that's the great thing about this business is it does give you that time to explore the bigger questions, you know, personally, professionally, spiritually, right? To do those things. So I can see Tate's thinking like, what's a big question I'm thinking about? And I hope it's not, should I come to the next week's podcast?
No, I'll be here next week. I don't know. There's some deep questions. I mean, a lot of the thoughts and when I'm riding my bike, a lot of times I'm thinking about, you know, is this a task that I should be doing? I mean, more so, does it make me money? And if not, do I enjoy it enough to continue to do it? Or if something were to happen to me, what's going to happen? What does that look like for the business, for the family? And I think we're set up correctly, but I know there's definitely some holes in it, right? A lot of those big questions. So I don't know, Mark. It's I guess, like you said, there's different, you know, angles to that question. Are you looking at from a business perspective, from a personal perspective, from a spiritual perspective? You know, there's a lot to digest there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the big question for me this summer is, should I go to Boston and eat raw kibbe with Mike Zeno? It's a big existential question. Eric, you would eat it? Raw kibbe?
Oh, I don't know if I would eat it, but you should absolutely go. I don't know if I could get over that. The raw meat, like...
The garlic will make it better. Don't worry.
I don't know, Mike.
I tell you, I tried it, and it was interesting. If you like meat pudding, it's kind of what it's like.
Listen, there's probably a lot of Lebanese people listening right now that don't like their raw kibbe being called meat pudding.
Norwegians have lutefisk. That's like fish pudding. I'm Norwegian.
So. You know what you didn't have, Scott, and what you have, I think it's called arak, Mark. I might be wrong, but there's a drink that's meant to go with it. It's sort of like black liquor, anisette, and you mix it. So you put it in front of you. It's like equal parts. There's ice, water, and this anisette liquor, and you got to kind of like blend it together. And that's meant to go with the raw kibbe. So I don't think you got the full exposure, Scott. I forgot about that. That with the garlic adds another layer to it. It probably sterilizes everything, probably what it does.
All right. I mean, since we've been, you know, since it's been an international theme, if I had asked you guys for your favorite international food, what's your favorite international genre of food? And Eric Peterson, barbecue is not international. That is United States.
I don't know. I smoked a Mexican inspired pork butt over the weekend.
Of course, you did.
Does that make it Mexican? I don't know.
No, that's taking Mexican food and making it Tennessee because you're smoking it. So no.
The fusion.
Do you have a favorite genre? Is it Mexican food?
For me?
Yeah.
That's probably one of the family's favorites at the moment, I would say.
How about you, Mike?
Probably Lebanese.
Lebanese? Okay. Scott Bossman?
I mean, pure Italian food I love.
Oh, come on.
I mean, it's
easy. Mike, are you gonna, that's
but I also like
Greek. American.
I like Greek food.
I'll give you Greek. I mean, Mike, is Boston really getting... like authentic Italian food in Onalaska, Wisconsin?
No, but I got it in Boston.
Okay. I love it. Okay. You know what? I apologize then.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, we went to the North End. Went to the North End. It's authentic.
That's authentic. That's legitimate. Okay. Tria?
I have a Thai, Indian and Thai food. Those are my two favorites.
Ooh, okay. So you like to sweat when you eat.
Oh, no, I don't need it that hot, but a little kick, but not super duper hot.
Okay.
I had more than spicy.
Yeah, I had Indian last week and I said medium spice. Myself, my kids, we were sweating at medium. And I'm like, what would hot be?
Yeah, it's extremely hot. I lived in the Middle East and our cook was from, I can't remember what part of India, but we couldn't eat her, like our nose was running. It was dragon hot. So it can get a lot hotter. Too much.
Wow. Okay. And Tate, how about you?
I like Thai food a lot. I like Mexican food. I can't go wrong there, and sushi. you know, sushi is Japanese, obviously. So that would be it for me. But I don't know. I like it all, man. I mean, if it looks good, I'll eat it. If it smells good, bring it on. I mean, I'm not that picky. I just don't like kale. I won't do that.
Yeah.
Kale?
I don't do that. No, I don't do kale.
At all?
No. I'll eat anything except kale. It's just not, it's not for me.
Will they let you into Lululemon now if they're listening to this?
Probably not.
No.
No, I don't do kale. Like, I mean, it's, there's a list, a very short list of things that I don't eat. And kale is on the top of it. It's just gross. It's like rabbit food to me. And it is not something that, you know, I need to eat. It's just not for me.
You eat spinach?
I like spinach. Yeah, absolutely.
What about the tortoises?
Even my tortoises won't eat kale. No. So it's a lich food thing. Like, we don't eat that stuff.
Got it. Got it. But you like Thai, so that makes you cool.
Yeah. I like Thai a lot. Mark and I, we put the hurt on some Thai food occasionally. And
I tell you, know what? Speaking of, like, for boot camp in August, we are going to the best Thai restaurant, arguably in the United States. It's Anthony Bourdain's favorite place.
Yeah. Lotus of Siam.
Lotus of Siam.
No, but Mark, I was listening to the radio, and the Bacchanal buffet is opening back up, I think, this month now. And during the pandemic, they dumped an insane amount of money into it. And they're going to have, you know, themed plates. And it's supposed to be even better than it was pre-pandemic. So we're going to need to do that one night again.
All right. I'm in.
Yeah, it's
nice to see that Vegas is coming back. Is the whole world coming back? I don't watch the news anymore. I couldn't tell you what's going on in the world.
I don't know. I mean, I just see more airplanes in the sky coming into Vegas every day, so that's a good thing.
The U.S. is coming back, I think.
Yeah. The U.S. is coming back. All right. Well, my three favorite genres are going to be Thai, Japanese, and Indian.
Oh.
For sure. So.
Great.
But Greek is really good, too. I mean, it's hard to... It's, you know, and Lebanese is really good. They're all really good.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Hard
you
call.
You know what's so funny is, like, no one's like if this was like an international podcast, you would hear it and be like, boy, I love those hamburgers and hot dogs in the United States. We went out the other day to the Wiener Schnitzel. We got fries. It was great. I haven't had heartburn like that in years. It was glorious.
Oh, man.
So, all right. Well, I thought this was a fun podcast. I want to thank the listeners for putting up with our shenanigans and remind them that if you are getting some value of it, do us three favors. Follow us, rate, review the podcast, send us a screenshot at support@thelandgeek.com. We're going to send for free the $97 wholetailing course, How to Double Your Money, 30 days or less. All right. Are we good?
Good.
All right. Let's do this. 1, 2, 3. Let's freedom ring. Not bad. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Passive Income podcast. Start your journey at www.thelandgeek.com and www.scotttodd.net. Rate and review the podcast and email support@thelandgeek.com. Your screenshot for a free passive income launch kit.